This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Let's go! Fired up, baby. Halfway home here on a hump day. Morning roast. We're rolling. We got Anthony Slater coming up in about 30 minutes. Who is Anthony Slater? I'm glad you asked. He's our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. Knows all thing Dubs. Plus, we got Dave Fleming, voice of your San Francisco Gigantes at 9:20. And you know what's great about Dave? We'll talk some orange and black. But we could also talk about the blue and gold as well, because he's tapped in on all things Bay Area sports. He is one of the best. Guy knows golf, guy knows tennis, guy knows that. He knows everything Stanford, loves him some Andrew Luck, loves all of it. So Dave Fleming at 9:20. And also be listening for the next 30 minutes because you have an opportunity to win a 4-pack of tickets for Saturday's game between the Rockies and the Giants. And it is a Star Wars giveaway weekend. So you definitely want to be going to that. As I say good morning to you, Joe Shasky. How you doing, man?
I'm doing lovely. You know?
It's game 5 tonight. Are you locked in, dude? You locked in tonight?
Am I?
Yes.
Of course I'm locked in tonight.
Are you? You feeling it?
I love the early start.
Well, that goes without saying. Honestly, the rest of the playoffs, if it could be at 4:30 every single time, I'd be great.
I remember when the Giants went from having games at like 7-11, like that's when the opening pitch would be, to now they've down to like 6:30 or 6:40.
Love it.
No one is complaining. No. Everyone loves it. The games are over by 9:30. It's just so much better. Like, dude, kids go to bed early. These people that want to, like, watch the games till 11 o'clock at night, go live on the East Coast.
To hell with the kids, as Sonny would say. I need to go to sleep early. Screw Benny and Nora, please. Dad needs some sleep at 8:30, 9 o'clock. And shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we are coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Just kidding, Benny and Nora. I love you. And by the way, it is a Warriors Wednesday, brought to you by Freedman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances in live working vignettes. Visit Freedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill today. And it is a potential series wrap-up game tonight as the Warriors are up 3-1 over the Houston Rockets. Take care of business tonight. You'll be awaiting the potential winner of T-Wolves Lakers. T-Wolves can also wrap up their series tonight as they have a 3-1 series lead in LA over the Lakers. So both teams win tonight. They're probably playing at one point, maybe on Sunday this weekend, and then we would have a reaction on Monday in place. But take care of business tonight, and then we could talk about next round. But we're still focused on the first round today.
So if the Warriors could take care of business tonight, we're rooting for chaos. We're rooting for the Lakers.
Oh, you're rooting for the Lakers and Luka and LeBron the next two games to push it to 7 games.
At minimum.
Yes.
I might even make the argument that the Lakers would be the more favorable matchup, but I'm willing to have that discussion once we finally are ready.
Like you said, at minimum, I was like, I don't think there's a max. I think that is the maximum. They can't go past 7 games, Joe. So it goes
to game 7. No, you can go to overtime.
Oh, okay. Double over, triple over, just keep going?
In every game.
Okay, just keep going overtime.
Did you watch, like, last night, the Bucks game? Like, not only did they get eliminated, it went to overtime and got eliminated. And so
they had a 17-point lead in the first quarter, too. Yikes.
Yeah, that means nothing in today's NBA.
Nothing?
With the 3-ball, like, you know, a couple of possessions, boom. 9 points.
I do think tonight, though, like getting out to an early lead, like, and I hear you. Like, the Rockets have been able to withstand a lot of these runs, and credit to them, they've been very resilient. That's the word I would use to describe them. They've been resilient this series. But if you get a big game from a Steph early on, and he's feeling it early, and you get a big lead, yeah, if I'm the Rockets players and the fans, like, it's gonna be very quiet in there. Very.
How many great games have we gotten from Steph in this series? One
great
and a
games?
Half?
Maybe like, yeah, one. Great, right?
He was really efficient in game one.
That's a game three, right? He was pretty good,
pretty damn good,
right?
Situationally.
Like, yes, that's probably the one. Yeah, game one. But again, it's been kind of a tandem between him and Jimmy Buckets too.
But typically as these series go on, he tends to play better down the stretch as he feels out what the strengths and weaknesses are.
Well, I like Steph too because he feels the moment too. And it's when it's time to go for the jugular, more often than not, he will do that. You think of Boston, right? You think of the Celtics, what he was able to do in the finals there. You think of Game 7, obviously, against the Sacramento Kings, kind of his last big, like, I'm here, I'm back games. Yeah, Game 7 in Sacramento at Golden 1 Center, just snatching the soul, Shang Tsung-style Mortal Kombat. And our guy, who was it, Mike Meltzer, who joined us earlier, he was kind of alluding to that. He's like, yeah, I got PTSD from that guy, and Steph could do it again tonight. And again, I am wanting so badly, if I'm a Warriors fan, a night in Houston.
Well,
over Dylan Brooks, can he do a three-pointer to ice the series? That would be great. And then we're coming in tomorrow feeling on top of the world.
Two things to look forward to today. The electricity from the crowd is going to be off the charts to start the game.
Is it?
Weather the storm. Yes. Yes, you're going to have to weather the storm.
I think they're going to be very tight.
Well, that's once the game starts to get going.
I think they're
going to
be very tight tonight in Toyota Center. I do.
And I would say, like I said before the last game, look out for the tomfoolery. You know it's coming. You know it's coming. And I think of all the people I'm looking at, it's like, hey, Dre, tonight is the night you have to stay out of foul trouble. And I'm not just talking about text. I'm talking about, like, just straight up foul trouble. I need you to be ready to roll. I have a feeling Draymond is going to bust out in this game. He hasn't really had a good offensive game in this series. He isn't a great matchup for him.
Yeah.
But I think tonight's the night he does it.
Didn't mean to cut you off there. He did have two straight three-pointers early on in the last game. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to get Draymond's back. Those were his only two made shots.
Shots.
But they're big early on, right, to build that 12-point lead early on in that game. And again, I think it's incumbent on them, do what you did last game. Get out to an early lead. Do that. Like, force them into mistakes, right? And then don't let them back in the game with dumb mistakes. Like, if I'm Steph, hey, it's okay to, like, not, like slow things down. If Jimmy sees stuff, like people being erratic, put the ball in Jimmy's hands, slow things down, get the opposing team in foul trouble. That would be a great recipe tonight. Can I get Alperen Şengün to do those stupid early fouls early on?
Right? I would isolate him in the pick and roll, and I would try to get downhill and get him trying to play defense backing up. I don't want him attacking in that blitz at the top of the key. I want him in the middle of the key coming out of the basically at half court. When he's blitzing at half court, that's when Steph's vulnerable. If you have him in the middle of the top of the key, at the top of the arc, that's where you attack him. And they need to break him down off the dribble.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking game five tonight. What are you looking for in tonight's game? Are you looking for the Steph game? Are you looking for Jimmy Butler to continue to be that closer for this team? Are you looking for Draymond Green to be that scorer? Who needs to step up for you most tonight to ice this thing in five? Dub Nation, 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys. Text line, as I said, Anthony Slater, 830, Dave Fleming, 920, talking all things Dubs. We're talking Circle of Trust right now because there's this little thing that I like to call the Spadoni Circle of Trust. You've seen Meet the Parents, right?
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Robert De Niro, Mr. Jack Burns, that was his name. He had his own Circle of Trust and was Greg Fokker in it, or was he not, right? And I like to do that with my sports team. So there's certain players, like with the Giants right now, I don't think Lamont Wade Jr. is in your circle of trust, is he?
No.
He's not in your circle of trust. Patrick Bailey, as a as an offensive producer, probably not in your circle of trust.
Let me take it a step further. I'll go more dramatic.
Please.
Jake Moody could hit every preseason kick, every practice kick, and I would not have him in my circle of trust week one with the game on the line.
Not in Shasky's circle of trust right now.
Would he be in yours? Jake Moody. Yeah, exactly.
He had an injury. All right, I'm going to wait and see on Jake Moody. Maybe he's getting his mind right.
Moody could hit every off-season field goal, every attempt, every practice kick, every kick in the preseason. And when it came down to it, week one, I would have no trust that he could get that kick. Doesn't mean he can't hit it. You're asking, do I trust him? No.
Can he ever earn your trust back, Jake Moody?
Oh, yeah. Go like 15 weeks with like hitting all the big kicks. No, hitting all the big kicks.
Just be prime Justin Tucker, right? By the way, did you see the Ravens?
But trust Trust can be broken. Wow, no. Justin Tucker's a great example, obviously.
Well, off the field. Well, they drafted a kicker. His days are numbered there.
That's my point.
And I'm shocked that they never released
him. One bad season. One of the greatest kickers of all time. He's done.
He's done, right?
So that's just the way I view, you know, certain people. I either trust you or I don't. I don't trust Jake Moody right now.
Okay, so he is outside the circle of trust.
I don't really trust, like...
That's
so right going there. Warrior world, right? Yep. Like, does Ime Udoka trust Jalen Green?
Oof.
We will find out.
I think they have to at this point. Like, you got to hope that, again, shout out to New Hope Star Wars. You got to hope that Jalen Green has another game like he had in game two. Because if he doesn't, chances are you're probably not going to win the game. But again, if you're relying on Jalen Green to be that guy, that's tough because you had a great Fred VanVleet game and a Şengün game and you didn't win. That's got to be a gut punch if you're the Houston Rockets because Fred VanVleet, for the most part, has been awful shooting the ball in this series. Awful. Şengün, he's going to get his. That's like built into the equation. Can he make it more difficult for him, though? Draymond Green, no more dumb fouls. Don't get like, I don't need you breaking up huddles over there,
too.
Do
you trust Draymond Green to walk the line appropriately tonight to where that he doesn't make the technicals and the flagrants a thing that we have to monitor?
I'm glad you brought that up because he is inside my circle of trust as I play my drops.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call circle of trust.
So, I do trust him.
Okay, so Dre is in the circle of trust. Who else is in the Spadoni circle of trust?
You know who is? You know who's in the circle of trust right now? It's Buddy Buckets.
You are now on the inside of what I like to call circle of trust.
It only took two games.
No.
And I trust Buddy Hield that he's going to keep it going,
are
baby.
Are you kidding me?
Buddy Hield is in Spadoni's circle of trust. Now, he could leave the circle of trust if he has a stinker tonight. It's very fickle, the Spadoni circle of trust. But right now, he is tentatively in my circle of trust. You know who else is in my circle of trust?
So he's squatting in the house of the circle of trust.
He's in the doorway. He's hanging out there. If there's an earthquake, you might have to leave, but we'll see.
I wonder how many people agree with you on that.
It's 888-957.
I don't know where I stand.
888-957-9570. Is Buddy Hield in your circle of trust?
I would put Pods in my circle of trust.
He's back in. He's in mine.
Okay. You are now on the inside of what I like to call circle of trust.
And obviously Steph, Jimmy, and Dre.
Absolutely.
But I'll say this. I actually trust Pajemski's offense in this game more than I trust Draymond to not get a flagrant.
So my start, I like that.
Does that make sense?
That's a great point. My starting lineup right now, if they go the same starting lineup, Draymond, Jimmy, Steph, Buddy, and Brandon, I trust them all right now.
Okay.
That's five people in the circle. Who I don't trust right now, who is outside of my circle of trust.
Quinn Post?
Moses Moody.
Then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
It's unfortunate.
So I've got Moody outside the circle of trust.
Quinn Post? It's a tough one. I think he's on the outside.
Then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
Okay.
Oh, that's a double. Yeah, you heard that sounder real quick.
Yeah, what does that mean?
That means be calling number 5 to our contest line, 415-523-4652. That's 415-523-4652. And you'll win a 4-pack of tickets to the game, courtesy of Oracle. And for more tickets, go to sfgiants.com. We're playing Circle of Trust right now. Spadoni's Circle of Trust. The starting 5, Draymond, Jimmy, Steph, Buddy, Brandon, they're in the Circle of Trust. Moody, currently outside.
What Quinn about Post, GP2?
Currently outside. GP2, you know what?
You are now on the inside of what I like to call circle of trust.
He's a vet. I trust Gary Payton II to make the right plays at the right time.
5, 6 guys in there. Okay, what about Looney?
Looney?
You're still in the circle of trust, so I'm going to give you one more chance.
He's got one more chance. He got one more chance.
God, I didn't know you had that drop.
Looney? He's been teetering for me, Joe.
Okay.
He's been teetering.
So like a Venn diagram. Yeah. He's kind of somewhere in the middle.
Somewhere in the middle. I'm going to go off the playoff excellence in the past for Kevon, but he's teetering right now. I'm going to keep it. I know Brian and Palo Alto's pulling out his hair, but if he has hair, I don't know what you look like, Brian. You might be bald for all I know, but that's okay. Kevon Looney is tentatively in my circle of trust. What about you?
I think Brian and Palo Alto has a full head of hair. I think he's living a very stress-free life.
No, stop. Guys, tweeting us left and right during the game. Oh, man.
Okay, so we've got 7 guys in there. Moody and QP on the outside.
Yes.
Kuminga.
I mean,
Then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
Sorry, he's outside. How can you trust him at this point? What has he shown you to trust him? I don't. I love the guy. I'm rooting for him. He's absolutely outside the circle of trust, right?
TJD?
Then I have no choice but to put you right back outside the circle.
No, I don't trust that guy. Sorry, I love TJD. Again, I wasn't mad at the minutes that he got, but he showed you. Like, this series, no.
What about Guy? Guy Santos?
He hasn't, like, played a lot, but you know what?
You're still in the circle of trust, so I'm going to give you one more chance.
Okay. I'll give him another chance.
So Looney and Guy have one more chance in the circle of trust.
Yes.
But Buddy is allowed full
vacant.
He's hot. Full occupancy.
He's hot. Buddy Hield's in my circle of trust. If you think that's insane, 888-957-9570.
Have I not mentioned everyone? I don't know.
No, that's it. You know, the Braxton Keys and the Kevin Knoxes and Pat Spencers. I don't think they're going to get time. Actually, dude, if you brought up Pat Spencer sneakily, I would say he's in my circle of trust.
You know I'm a Pat Spencer.
I know.
No one has talked more Pat Spencer before he played than myself.
All right, so read out.
I love the guy.
So read out to me what I have there.
Okay.
This is Spadoni's circle of trust.
Spadoni's circle of trust, as I'm trying to show the YouTube audience the notebook as I make the noises here that I
there
have. Okay, so in the circle, Draymond, Steph, Pods, Butler, Buddy, GP2, and then two guys that are also in there, but it's their last chance, Guy and Looney.
Yes.
Okay. So basically everybody but TJD, Moses Moody, Kuminga, and QP.
Yes.
I think Moody's going to have a moment in this game.
He might, and he can get back into the circle of trust. But right now, I don't trust him. His offense is just not there right now. He was iced out. He had 12 minutes last game, Joe. 12 minutes. QP played 20. I like what I saw at times.
What he did in terms of trying to get in the mix and wanting all the smoke, I feel like he's in that circle of trust.
Don't trust the shot, though. He still feels awkward when he's shooting. He had some buckets. I'm not going to lie.
He had some huge rebounds.
Not quite there with him yet. But again, you can get back into it. This is subject to change, the circle of trust. As always, there's a little disclaimer, subject to change.
If you set fire to Spadoni's, what is that thing that he sets fire to accidentally?
The gazebo thing.
Gazebo.
Yeah, yeah. The altar. That's what it was. He put so much lacquer on that thing. It was a ticking time bomb.
Was a carpenter. I mean, there's so many great lines from that
movie. He's like, Greg's Jewish. Oh, so is JC. You're in good company. There's so many good lines in that movie. It's Owen Wilson is one of those characters in that. He is such a slime ball.
He's like, so good.
How's your portfolio looking these days, Greg? I'd say strong. Good to strong. He's like, yeah. Greg's a nurse. It's so good. That movie's all time.
It's an all time movie.
Oh, so that's my circle of trust right there. And who is in your circle of trust right now, Dub Nation? 888-957-9570. We'll ask Anthony Slater, who's sitting Steve Kerr's circle of trust, coming up here in 9 minutes. Anthony Slater covers the team for The Athletic and right here on 95.7 The Game. Who's in your circle of trust right now? Y'all ask. Who's in yours?
Well, I'll tell you who's not.
Okay.
NBA officials.
Oh. Okay.
What?
Going off the board here?
No, what do you mean? You're asking who do I trust? I don't trust the officials to get things right.
Okay.
That's number one. Number two, I don't trust Ime Udoka, and I don't trust them boys on Houston right now because I think that the goonery is going to be at an all-time high.
I don't like Dylan Brooks.
Is that what you're saying?
I think something's going to happen tonight.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. I think a hard foul. There's going to be some separation. Yeah, this is going to get... I think tonight is a night where specifically Draymond Green has got to keep his cool. And if he keeps his cool, I think we win going away.
He's in my circle of trust. Is Draymond Green right now in your circle of trust, Joe? Is he?
Yeah.
Okay, so I think the one that's polarizing, I'm getting a lot of... It's the Buddy Hield one. He's in my circle of trust. Has he done enough to get you to trust him going forward, Buddy Hield? Has he done enough these last two games? He's been big for them. He's been big. This is what Steve Kerr said last game.
Hey, fellas, I'm going to utter some words that have never been spoken before by anybody on earth. Buddy Hield, you set the tone defensively.
Yeah, buddy. Setting the tone defensively. And by the way, shout out Samuel McNabb, not Donovan, but Samuel McNabb, who won the 4-pack of tickets to this Saturday's game between the Giants and Rockies. And again, courtesy of Oracle. Shout out to them for hooking it up. And shout out Samuel McNabb going to that game and potentially getting a Star Wars giveaway. Pretty cool. Continue.
There are certain organizations in sports that I will never trust. The Arizona Cardinals. They have a history where it's just like any headline that I read, I believe it, right?
Okay.
Buddy Hield could be 100 for his next 100, okay? And I will still think that a horrific Buddy turnover is coming. And that's not fair to him.
Right.
It's not. It's not fair to him. I put him in, and I hate to be in this zone. He's kind of in the Nick Young zone for me.
Swaggy P?
I never liked Swaggy P. What? I love Buddy infinitely more
than Swag Champ is here?
Where I just don't, like, huge buckets, but I just don't trust it. Like, I just, like, late in that game, he had hit some big shots, and I was like, pass the ball, pass the ball, pass the ball. And then he took a shot, and it was like, see, you should have passed the ball. And I was like, you know what? That was probably a good shot, but in the moment, I could feel that I didn't trust him.
It is funny, like, I trust him for some reason because I think he's in a hot stretch. Again, a hot stretch, quote unquote. He was 6-for-15 overall in 3-of-9.
He was hot.
But he was hot. And he got a couple steals, couple of assists. Like, it's baked into the Buddy experience. And what do I call him at times, Joe? He is Buddy Butterfingers because he's going to do some Butterfinger type of things. And that's okay. By the way, underrated candy, the Butterfinger. It's one of my tops. Whenever I get it,
Is delicious.
They're great.
They are delicious.
They're delicious.
I would agree.
You remember you used to have the Butterfinger BBs? Those are really good.
I don't even know what that is.
They used to have a pack. Like, they were like little balls of Butterfingers and like an M&M almost pack, but it was in a Butterfinger and they were called BBs. For those that know now. Love chocolate. There you go. Well, the dentist doesn't love that you love chocolate that much, obviously.
So,
right?
Chocolate's not as bad as the hard sugary candy.
Okay, fair enough. 888-957-9570. Buddy, it's the Buddy experience for me that I'm just riding the wave of right now. And again, subject to change. He could have a stinker tonight. They lose the game. He's back outside the circle of trust. Moses Moody, come on back. You might have a good game. You might pick yourself up.
Did you ever really trust him if you're kicking him out after one bad game?
My trust is fleeting with certain people. I'll just say that. I'm very fickle when it comes to that. And you know what? For now, I'm going to trust you because Steve Kerr's trusting him. And you know who I trust? I trust Steve Kerr and his judgment.
So you let him into the house, but you've got the keys ready to lock him out of the house, and you're ready to hand him his coat at any moment.
You know what? Let's ask Anthony Slater about this. I'm not going to not answer your question, but I'm not going to do it right now. I'm going to tease it on the other side, and we're going to ask Anthony Slater, who's in his circle of trust, and that's going to be brought to you by the Bayview Restaurant and Lounge at the Inn of the Tides. This Mother's Day, treat mom to something special. Brunch with a view at the Bayview Restaurant and Lounge at the Inn at the Tides. Enjoy coastal cuisine, fresh local flavors, and a stunning Bodega Bay views. Reserve now. Mom deserves the best. Call now or visit innatthetides.com.
You've said people start talking to you. You're talking about Dylan Brooks?
Yeah. Yes.
Anything you want to share that he said?
No. I mean, I like it. I think we all like when people start chirping. It's been this way this entire series. I don't think it's going to change. And we're going to go out there, we're going to compete, and we're going to go do what we're supposed to do in Houston.
Dub Nation, it's the voice of the Warriors, Tim Roy. You're listening to The Morning Roast with Joe Spadoni and Joe Shafsky on 95.7 The Game.
Thank you, Tim. That voice prior was the voice of Anthony Slater, who's going to be joining us momentarily here on the program, courtesy of River Islands. And Slater asked that question to Jimmy Buckets, Jimmy Butler, who was incredible late in that game, playing, 75, 80%, whatever you want to call him. He is not at 100%. We do know that, but it did not matter as the Warriors won 109-106, improved to 3-1 on the series. And game five is tonight in Houston, 4:30 tip on the West Coast, though, right here on 95.7 The Game, as we welcome Anthony Slater onto the program. Joe Spadoni, Joe Shasky, I say good morning to you, Anthony. Let's bring it right where we just heard from that draw. I don't think you heard it. I don't think you were on the line yet, but we just played that little back and forth that you had in regards to one Dylan Brooks. What did you make of that entire saga of the Dylan Brooks, the tech, Steph pointing up the two, him and Jimmy going at it? What did you make of that entire scenario when it came to Dylan Brooks and the Golden State Warriors?
It's good. It's fun. It's theater. It's spice. It's like, you know, I don't know. It's been a really good playoff in general. And that type of stuff adds layers to these series. And I like, you know, Draymond is the villain to people who are rooting against the Warriors, and Dylan Brooks, I would say, is the villain to the people who are rooting for the Warriors, and I think good stories need that type of stuff. I think Dylan Brooks actually played well this series.
I think so, too.
Yeah, so I like it. You know, I like and it. Just it adds energy in the arena, right? I mean, so I'm a fan of that type of stuff.
No, I would agree, but I think we're, like, because I want these guys to not like each other because it does make better theater. I think where I throw my hands up is the officiating and the adjudication on what's going down on these things. They're all over the place. Like, Ime Udoka is stomping all over the court, always in the mix, never seems to get a technical or being told, hey, stay on the bench. And, like, in that particular one where Draymond Green and Dylan Brooks kind of get in, that's like the one time Dre was actually separating and de-escalating the situation. And somehow, some way, the Rockets are the ones that end up with two free throws. I just, I don't know. I've thrown my hands up, you know, on some of the officiating.
You know what, though? You sound like, when I talk to a lot of people with other teams, they say that about Draymond, right? He's stomping around. He gets, you know, he's never being called
for technical.
Yeah, but
he's a player. There's a difference to me with a player and a coach who's consistently a foot away from the action on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, that's Ime Udoka's role on the Rockets in a weird way, you know? He is their, you know, enforcer in from an emotional sense. So, I don't, you know, I'm fine with it all, really, but, like, that's just how I am. But, you know, in a weird way, like, I understand, like, the officials certainly weren't perfect the other night, but I think a lot of the blame for some of the spice can be on the combatants on the court, number one. And number two, like, I think they did a good job keeping everybody eligible, particularly Draymond. I thought it was a creative workaround to keep Draymond in the game the other day.
I 100% agree. In fact, I'm considering what the situations were. I was surprised that he was in the game. But I also thought the Warriors did a really good job kind of just navigating the non-Draymond minutes until he was available late in it. If he were to get in foul trouble again, what do you think they do against Şengün? Because he had his way in that second half, and they won that game. But had they not got that final stop, I think we would be having a lot of different discussions about how to slow down Şengün. What would be the recipe if Draymond were in foul trouble again?
Man, I mean, it's difficult. I mean, I think you'd want Looney out there. He would profile as, like, the best, you know, backup defender for Şengün, but he has not had a very good series. They tried Trace Jackson Davis and Quentin Post. Like, to me, like, obviously the Warriors are in control of this series and should win it, but it's not like Houston hasn't imposed some of their will and their style in the series. The fact that the Warriors went to a Trace Jackson Davis, Quentin Post lineup tells you that, like, there's stuff Houston is doing that is really bothering the Warriors. I don't think you'll necessarily see those two together again, but clearly they're searching. You could try a Kuminga out there, go small. You could try some stuff, but generally, the answer to your question is Draymond better avoid foul trouble and better avoid technical trouble.
What did you make, Anthony, as we're talking to Anthony Slater here on the River Islands guest line, Spadoni and Shasky, Slater covering the Warriors, best in the business when it comes to that athletic right here, 95% of the game. What did you make of the starting lineup, putting in Hield and putting Moody to the bench? And obviously, I expect him to go back to that same one today. And is that something we can expect going forward, the same lineup?
No, I mean, that's matchup-based. I had been hearing it for a couple games behind the scenes that, you know, one of the issues Houston was creating is they were putting Şengün on Moses Moody. And it was, you know, kind of jumbling up the matchups in a way they didn't like. It allowed them to put Van Vliet on Draymond. And, it was tough to get Şengün in the action, right? And that's what they want. But putting Buddy Hield on the floor, Houston is much more, hesitant to put Şengün on Buddy Hield because Buddy Hield's a movement shooter. You don't want Şengün chasing him around pin downs and, you know, various actions. He's just a different type of player. It's like Şengün guarding like a Klay Thompson. They just think it sets up the matchups well in this particular series. Obviously, Buddy Hield's playing well. But, you know, if we're talking about game one against the Minnesota Timberwolves, I don't necessarily expect Buddy Hield to be in the starting lineup. It is about the Houston series.
I really like that point you made about the Buddy's movement versus, like, Moody. Because Moody has been kind of relegated to a short corner three guy, staying there. Occasionally, he'll cut to the basket without the ball. It's funny how these series work out. You know, from game to game, things are very different. But it does feel like right now Moody's kind of getting odd man out treatment, and I'm not necessarily angry at it.
Yeah. No, I mean, he hasn't shot it particularly well. I mean, he's still in the rotation. But what did Buddy Hield play? I know he played 29 minutes, two in game three. I don't know what he played last game. It was a lot. It's series to series. You know, Minnesota or the Lakers theoretically will create different issues and probably, you know, bring different players to the stage in a sense.
You know, the other thing that I'm recognizing is that, you know, with Jimmy Butler, we made so many comments just as a media fan base. Oh, what's it going to do for Steph? What's it going to do for Draymond? You know, what's it going to do for this guy? And who are the guys you play around him? And one of the guys that I did not see having better looks on the floor and being able to work alongside Jimmy is Brandon Pajemski. Mm. I feel like he gets a lot better looks, a lot better open one-on-ones. His relocate over the last week or two has been a lot better. Obviously, the game where he wasn't feeling well, we'll throw that out. But I really like the tandem of Pajemski and Jimmy Butler, and it feels like they're playing overlapping minutes when Curry's not on the floor.
Yeah, it was a little bit unforeseen. I would say a couple things. Number one, Pajemski like had turned his season around prior to Jimmy. Like Jimmy got here at a good time where he was already really in rhythm and had turned it around probably for like 3-4 weeks before that. His shot had he'd rediscovered it, and I mean he talked. I sat down with him. I remember in Charlotte this year, and he really talked about him allowing his 3-point shot to just like, you know, in some ways crumble the rest of his game in the first month and 2 months. He was just thinking so much about that. We know the expectations he had of himself going into the season. He didn't play that well in training camp. De'Anthony Melton kind of took the starting spot he thought was his. And he is a different version of himself midseason and beyond. And then you add Jimmy into the mix. It slots him down in the pecking order offensively where he should be at this stage of his career. And, it allows him to play the off-ball creator, where he can kind of like he's really good at the, they call him go and catches, where he's running into the catch and he's on the move, and he can kind of play make off that, where he's, you know, the defense is still rotating back over to him, and he has kind of like a zippy way that he's playing, and I think it's helping, and Jimmy's a really good passer, right? I mean, it's probably one of the things that was under discussed, upon his arrival, was like the playmaking that he's providing that, and Andrew Wiggins or others on this roster didn't. And I think that helps Pajemski.
Absolutely. Speaking of Jimmy Butler, Anthony, his status, obviously this is just a pain tolerance thing at this point, but he was grimacing exponentially late in that game. He just kept seeing and seeing it, which made his performance even that much more impressive. But his status heading into tonight, in regards to the injury, I said probable, right? That was yesterday. Probable to play tonight, right?
Yeah, probable. You know, they list it because, if theoretically they got to a point that they had to rule him out, you want to at least notify it on the injury report. But yeah, no, he's going to play now. You know, how limited will we be? We'll see. He agreed with Steve Kerr's estimation that he'd probably miss a week or two if this was the regular season. I had a fun conversation with him, at his locker after the game, wrote about it in The Athletic, but he was number one. He was talking about how much it hurt, and it isn't just pain tolerance. Where he landed really more on the left side, and he can't, like, when he's running, it's difficult for him to lift his left leg up in like his normal stride. And he pointed me to the play that he chased down Dylan Brooks and fouled him in transition, which actually was a big play. Dylan Brooks ends up missing both free throws, but he's like, "Watch me run on that play." And if you guys go back and watch, I mean, he's scooting. You can tell he can't lift his left leg fully. So I think it loosened up in the fourth. He would say it did. And he just has his style too. It's why he's aging so well, is he just has this like and somewhat ground bound style that isn't reliant on athleticism. It's tricky. It's powerful. He has a high pain tolerance. He gets to the line and gets points there. So he can be effective, even though, yes, he is like not feeling 100% himself.
Talking about Stephen Curry on the opposite end there, not his greatest shooting night, was getting hounded defensively. Anything there with that thumb still, Anthony, that's bothering him? He's not going to use it as an excuse, but are you noticing anything? Or was that just, credit to Houston, their defense, and that was just an off-shooting night for Steph?
Yeah, I mean, it's off-shooting night. I mean, he's not just going to be, his best self at all times. I would say also it does seem like the trend lines lately have been like he really – throttles up in a game. And what did he play, 40 minutes a game three? No Jimmy. Like, that was just like high usage, high energy, that he had to use. And not that guarantees he's going to have like a low efficiency game the next game, but it seems like it's kind of a trend up, trend down type situation. It was the first game of the series where there was only one off day in between. It's what we're talking about right now, Steph's stamina at age 37 and Jimmy's, situation right now with the tailbone, it would be the best argument for why they need to try to get this done tonight.
Absolutely.
Right. And get 4 or 5 days before the next series.
So to clarify, let's say hypothetically Warriors win tonight and the T-Wolves win tonight, the game would be what day?
Yeah. It's not like the NBA hasn't confirmed anything. My educated guess would probably be Sunday afternoon ABC. That'll depend on the other series around, right?
Yeah.
Are there other game sevens? You know, but it's TV, right? TV rules in this world, and they want weekend games, and they want Saturday night ABC games and Sunday afternoon ABC games. And to me, a game one in Minnesota on like a Sunday afternoon, you play like a Sunday, Tuesday, and then have a big break, and then maybe play that next Saturday game three in Chase Center. Like, that's what my guess.
Okay, so that would give them 3 days rest, right? The Warriors, they would have Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You play Sunday. If the Lakers win, what are you thinking? Monday, Tuesday start to that series? This is all incumbent on the Warriors winning tonight, so I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
Yeah.
But I think the point you're making about injuries and rest, it's also there for game planning and adjusting and having a walkthrough practice and being able to implement that stuff. So let's say the Lakers win tonight, and that goes to a game seven. What do you think, Monday, Tuesday?
Yeah, well, so the Lakers winning tonight would send it to a game six. Either team winning tonight, right, if Houston wins tonight. Game sixes of these series, I believe, would be Friday, both of them. And if the Warriors close, the Lakers win, I don't think the league would like, let's say Minnesota then wins game six Friday night in Minnesota.
Yeah.
I don't think it's impossible that they would try to flip it around and have Minnesota play a game one at home Sunday still.
Wow.
Although that feels like a quick turnaround. Then, you know, maybe you were talking Monday, Tuesday. Again, that might depend on, is there a Knicks-Pistons game seven to feature? Is there a Knicks-Celtics game one to feature potentially on a Sunday? You know, again, like, the league wants their showcase times to have showcase matchups. I would say probably if Minnesota series extends and Warrior series ends tonight, you're probably talking early next week.
That would be great for them. I think that's why they need to handle business tonight too. And the other element, which we have yet to discuss it, and look, we love the physical play, but there is a realistic component of flagrant accumulation for Draymond Green. For those that are just tuning in right now, maybe they're wondering, I mean, how many more does he got? What are the rules on the flagrant situation for Draymond Green? And is the team worried at all about him getting a silly flagrant in a closeout game tonight or having to play a game six or game seven?
Yeah, I mean, as far as just like the straight up rules are, so 4 points, four flagrant points is a one game suspension. And if we are to go back in history, he got the suspension in game five of the finals because he had the flagrant in the first round against Houston with Beasley. Remember that?
He DDT'd Michael Beasley when the game was already over.
DDT.
Yeah. And that was first point. And then he got an upgraded flagrant two for the kick to Steven Adams, which was, you know, a flagrant two is 2 points. So he was at three, and then they gave him the fourth point for the LeBron thing. So to answer your question, I mean, he's at one. Surely they don't want him to get a second. And, you know, I should say technicals, by the way, seven before you get the suspension in the playoffs. But they also, like, they have long accepted the reality that they just need to let Draymond Green mostly be Draymond Green. I mean, obviously, he knows there's a line. He tries to go as close to it without going over it. And, you know, look, they need him to just be ferocious guarding Alperen Sengun tonight to get them to the next round. They can't also tell him, hey, like, by all circumstances, you need to avoid a flagrant, because he's probably going to commit a hard foul or two, and then it's at the discretion of the officials. I will say, probably a good official tonight for those type of situations. You're getting Zach Zarba as the crew chief, first time in these playoffs for the Warriors. So he's typically has feel, as they like to say about officials.
I love that Jimmy Butler gave that, like, they were turning the ball over left and right, and then Jimmy gave that hard foul to Dylan Brooks, which was a rake across the arm, but it was refreshing that it was someone other than Draymond to actually, you know, give somebody one, you know? What's that?
Rewatch the play. That's the one I'm talking about where he's just limping back.
Yeah.
It was like a really nice hustle play. And Dylan Brooks missed both free throws. And you know the interesting thing about Jimmy? Somebody pointed it out to me the other day in like kind of his circle. He is like extremely polite with officials. You never see him say anything to officials. And I don't know if it helps in a situation like that where they didn't even go review it. Dylan Brooks didn't even get up to say anything. Like, it was just viewed as that. Jimmy Butler committed a hard foul. Like, go to the line for two. And I think part of that is, like, have you seen, since Jimmy Butler's been on the Warriors, him even, like, talk to an official?
No. Not once.
No, he doesn't do that. No, it's a great point. Anthony Slater joining us here on the River Islands guest line. As all guests in 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop. And Anthony, Speaking of Dylan Brooks, it's interesting because you brought up that foul. I think of the one that Gary Payton like ran into him, right? He just like just ran his shoulder right into him. He's like, all right, yeah, whatever. Early on in this series, of the two series, because I know you're locked in on this one between the Rockets Warriors, but you watch all the NBA. Of the two series right now between the Rockets and Warriors and Lakers T Wolves, which team do you think has a better chance to extend it potentially to a seventh game? Rockets or the Lakers?
Seventh game, I would probably say Lakers. And even sixth game, I don't know. It's, you know, Lakers at home tonight. You know, Lakers got LeBron and Luka. You know, both of you know the Rockets. This is a really close series too. Like they easily, they probably should have won game four. So I think both is not out of the question. But I just think Houston's lack of just half court scoring punch. I just don't think they're going to take it to seven. That would just be my prediction, just because I haven't seen enough from them offensively in this series.
Hey, Anthony, good stuff, man. Appreciate it. Good luck tonight out in Houston, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, fellas.
There he goes. That's Anthony Slater, our 95.7 The Game Warriors insider. If you missed any of that interview, find it on the free Odyssey app or on YouTube where we are streaming.
So, I love Anthony, and I love the back and forth. We always learn something when we talk, and there are times we just disagree. He made a point about Ime Udoka. You know, that's his role on the team, to be the physical enforcer on the floor. No, dude, the coach is coach and the players play.
He's not getting physical with anyone, in fairness. He's not, like, you know, putting hands on people and trying to, like, fight them. So you're looking at me like he's doing that, and he's not.
Every time there's a skirmish, I want you to just identify where Ime Udoka is, and I guarantee you he will be in the mix. I guarantee you he will be standing right over the shoulder of someone with the Rockets.
Okay, is there anything wrong with that?
Yes, I'm telling you there is. Like, let the players do that.
What's wrong with that? They feed off of him. That's okay.
If Mike,
that happens, like Dan Campbell is a physical presence on that sideline with
like
the Detroit Lions.
He doesn't walk up to Deebo Samuel and give him the shoulder.
No, he might point at him on the sideline and start cussing him out, though. That's what, like, because it's different in the NFL. Again, it's not for the same thing. They're not on top of the players. But again, they feed off of that. I don't have a problem with that. I know you do, because I think that's the coach in you, Joe. That's the coaching you need.
It's unbecoming.
Like,
let the players play.
For you, maybe, but it works for them in their situation, I think. It's okay. Like, if Steve Kerr and the players had a problem with it, I think they'd say something. They clearly don't. And the refs are the refs. I don't know.
It's similar, not exactly the same, but it's like Big Dom. Like, no, dude, don't touch the players. Back up. Like, it's one thing if you're pulling your own guys off of someone once a melee happens. He's literally stomping onto the floor trying to get in the mix. I think it's a little ridiculous.
That's Super Bowl champion Big Dom to you, sir. Verducci in El Dorado Hills wants to join in the conversation. We're talking about Circle of Trust, Joe. I have Buddy Hield in my Circle of Trust. I wonder if Verducci in the El Dorado Hills has him in his Circle of Trust. Verducci, good morning.
Good morning, guys. And you know what, Dub Nation, let's go, baby. It's game five, and we need to get fired up. And you're talking about my circle of trust, a guy that flies underneath the radar, GP2, just for his defense, just for his disruption on the court. So that's my circle of trust. But let me tell you tonight why the Warriors are going to win in five. Let's start with the heartbeat of the Bay, Stephen Curry. The man has been cooking when it matters most. He's averaging 27-plus points a game, 42% from deep. And when the lights shine brightest, Steph doesn't show up. He just doesn't show up. He takes over. Let me remind you something. He's 4-1 all-time in closeout games in Houston. Mark that down. And it's in that same building at the Toyota Center where he scored 33 points in the second half. Remember that with the busted knee? Mm-hmm. Y'all forget. Steph remembers. And tonight, he's got the apron on, baby. He already has the oven preheated, and the Rockets are on the main course. But the guy that I think right now, it's all about Jimmy Buckets, because he's new to the face. He's the new face of the Bay. He was built for this, the playoff dog, the grinder, the leader. And don't let that calm demeanor fool you. Jimmy Buckets lives for this kind of smoke. We needed that edge, that grit, to put the team on my back mentality. And Jimmy's brought that straight from South Beach to Golden Gate. And if you're counting them out, let me tell you, he's going to be wearing double butt pads ready to go tonight. And finally, I think it's the youth. It's the Moody, the Pods, the Post, the Santos. These young guns have been crucial. They're not just eating up minutes. They're making plays. They're hustling, defending, hitting clutch shots. And they're not wide-eyed under the lights because they built that trust with Kerr. And here's some numbers for you all. Warriors are 7-2 in their last 9 road games in Houston. We got the number one assist to turnover ratio in the playoffs, proving the ball is moving, the chemistry is flowing. And when Steph, Jimmy, and Dre all score in double digits, the Dubs are undefeated this postseason. So tonight, in a hostile territory, with the season on the line, we are winning because we got the experience, the hunger, the leadership, the depth. And let me tell you, the Rockets might have some firepower, but let me tell you, the Warriors have that fire within. And when that ball tips off tonight, there will be there will be one team who knows exactly what it takes to close, to finish, to advance. So let's go, Dub Nation. Light up the phone lines, the YouTube chat, because after tonight, it's going to be Dubs in 5. Believe that. Now, Spadoni, crank the volume up, 2E40. Sprinkle me, man. Let's remind H-Town who built this dynasty. Straight the numbers, Warriors basketball. Let's ride, and night-night.
There you go. Hey, he was cooking towards the end there. I feel you, Ferducci.
He's cooking the whole call.
He was cooking. Well, he wants Steph to cook tonight. That's what he needs. He's talking about the oven. He's talking about the chef.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he needs to be dishing out anything but turnovers tonight. That's the only thing I don't need from the bakery is an apple turnover from Stephen Curry. He had 4 of them last game. Dominate the controllables. You win this game. Don't beat yourself and you win in 5. That's all I got to say.
Please mark that call. That's one of the calls of the year. I thought he was going to bust into a rap.
Doobie Award potential? Okay.
I thought he was going to bust into a rap.
That's what Risotto said in my ear, too. He said the same thing.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to rap as well.
That was incredible. He had numbers. I mean, he had it all. I mean, he was rolling.
What
alliteration.
What is the temperature check on this game? Are you fine? Like, you're always nervous, so I feel you, but like, tonight, you're playing with house money. You're up 3-1.
There's no such thing as house money.
Well, there should be no pressure on you tonight. Play loose, play fast, play free.
There's no such thing as house money. It is game to game. You know, like, oh, you're like, it's one thing if you're up 3-0 in the first round versus a 38-win team.
Okay, well, in fairness, you're up 3-1, and in the history of the NBA, you're probably 95%.
Joe. You cannot say to a Warrior fan, well, in the history of the NBA, you're up 3-1. We're the outlier.
LeBron James was on that team.
But no,
you Alperen Şengün is on this team. Stop comparing those teams.
You did it to the Thunder and then had it done to you in subsequent series. Like that's you can't say it to a Warrior fan without us feeling some kind of way. It's never over till it's over.
Bet you $1,000 they don't blow this 3-1 lead and they lose this year. I bet you $1,000. You taking that?
No.
Stop.
No.
Stop.
Like, again, that's just it's like talking to like for example, you hey Buffalo, this kicker's got this one. Like you're forever triggered by it.
You think Boston fans were scared yesterday, up 3-1 against the Orlando Magic?
If there's a trickler in a game 6 at first base, yeah, they remember. Yes, certain fan bases, there are certain things that they will never forget. Yeah, I'm sorry. Even once you've reached the height of heights, it's just.
You know how many Hall of Famers?
Part of it.
You know how many Hall of Famers they had on that Cleveland Cavaliers team? A lot. Okay, let's take a step back. It's the Houston Rockets.
There is no logic. It's exactly. So you feel me, Sam?
You guys got to remove it.
Thank you. After in a series
scared.
Where, you know, your heart stopped when Jimmy fell.
Oh, that's fine. He hurt his butt. He's okay. Jimmy's tough. Playoff Jimmy. That's who we got. We have Stephen Curry. Draymond Green.
No, I agree.
They're relying on Fred VanVleet to do what he did last game. He's not going to. He's just not.
No one is
Dylan
saying.
Dylan Brooks, is he going to be the flamethrower? Stop. Come on. You're winning the series.
These games have been tighter than we want to acknowledge. And
you've
they
won
have
them.
To handle it tonight.
And you've won them.
Until they extinguish them, it's hard for me to get super arrogant over it because I understand that this is a good team that I don't want to disrespect. And more than any other team left in the playoffs, one little injury can truly change the dynamic.
Sure.
Jimmy out for a long period of time, change game 2. Okay? Let's go again.
What happened in game
3? Draymond in foul trouble.
What happened in game 3?
Change the second half.
What happened in game 3 when there was no Jimmy Butler? What happened?
You won that game.
You won.
At home.
Thank you.
At home.
Was their opportunity to win for the Houston Rockets. They couldn't do it. That's what showed me all I needed to know in this series. Even when the Warriors aren't at their best, they're still better than the Houston Rockets. So I'm not here to, no scared energy tonight. What's the confidence level, Dub Nation?
I think the Warriors.
Why am I so much more confident than Joe Shasky right now? They're taking care of business tonight.
It's simple. Stop. It's not about like confidence. It's like when you bring up the specific thing of like you're up 3-1 and then you start reading me off the math. It's like, yeah, well, one of the teams that lost that equation, you were the team that did it. And the other one that lost the 3-1, you accomplished that against them. So yeah, like All I'm saying is it's PTSD.
Sure, that's fine. If you want to do but the injury excuse, sure. But again,
it's not but injury. It's but this. Regardless, I can get off it. But I'm just saying, when you say 3-1, you go, all the math tells you. No, like, the math is irrelevant to my emotions.
Not to me. We can use more math in our society, quite frankly. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app, and now broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And it's a Warriors Wednesday brought to you by Freeman's Appliance. Come see their full selection of in-stock luxury appliances and live working vignettes. Visit Freeman's Appliance Pleasant Hill today. Have you gotten your air fryer yet?
No.
Okay, you need to get one.
Okay.
All right, hurry up and get one. In the meantime, we're going to go to Greg out in Canada. He has a shout-out today.
Hey, Greg.
Usually it's a shameless shout-out Friday, but Greg's shouting out on a Warriors Wednesday. Greg, good morning. What you got?
What's up, fellas? Hope you're doing good. I keep missing the shameless shout-outs. Before I shout out Dunleavy, I want to shout out my daughter Olivia, who just turned 4, and my wifey JoJo, who's an absolute smoke show. But then I'm going to go to shout out Mike Dunleavy, who, in retrospect, needs to get some kind of love for Executive of the Year. Obviously, the Jimmy trade's huge, specifically who he got for that trade. We got Wiggins out of there and a couple people that we grabbed out of the recycling bin in the offseason to move for Jimmy. But we got Quentin Post, a second-round pick, and Pajemski putting in work in this series. While on the opposite end, we got like a third-round pick, Reed Shepard, and a 20th pick in Cam Whitmore, who are just collecting dust on their sideline on a young team. So it's kind of obvious when you get guys who are ready to play and kill it. And I don't know if you guys want it, but I do got a couple bars for you to end this.
Let's go.
Give it to me.
What I got is basically shout out Shasky and Spadoni. My brodies wonder if we actually homies. They keep asking if you know me. And I say, you know what? Me and them boys is close. I seem like I'm a weekly guest on the morning roast.
Okay. I'm not mad at it. The heart was in the right place. That's Greg in Canada. I'm sure Drake is his favorite rapper. So there you go. Greg in Canada. He said real quick, he shouted out his daughter, his smoke show wife. Kudos to the brownie points there. Smart man. I would actually go back on YouTube to show her that later if she's not listening, because she's probably not. Just say, hey, honey, I shouted you out to the boys. And then he shouted out Mike Dunleavy in that order. So daughter, wife, Dunleavy, there you go. Smart man there. And you can never flower too much for Mike Dunleavy. As much as everyone wanted to crush him last summer, absolutely. It's been the trade of the year thus far. Like, right? Now that the Lakers are probably going to be on their way out, and that was the Luka trade, and I get it, it's different variations. He's younger, but hey, Warriors are going to be advancing the second round. Hopefully, Jimmy Butler, trade deadline, might have been the move of the year. There you go.
Well,
is that part of the awards, by the way? The executive of the year? I don't know if they've done that yet. Mike Dunleavy should absolutely be in the consideration. I think he has a great chance to win it all. Like, he should be that guy.
And I would also say, I think for it to go together so quickly in season, the way it has been truly remarkable. And you juxtapose that with what's going on with the Lakers, where there's clearly some growing pains,
yeah,
right? Whether it's roster, you know, fit, you know, just sharing the floor simultaneously, like Luka and LeBron, like they're kind of feeling each other out right now.
That, I think the shift was more seismic for the Lakers in regards to trading a Hall of Fame player. Now, I look, Andrew Wiggins, he's very good. He's not what Anthony Davis was to the Los Angeles Lakers, albeit he was a championship player and the second best player on a championship team. That being said, not on the level of an Anthony Davis, and him being that the 5/4 for the Lakers and then just getting a point guard in comparison and then relying on Jackson Hayes. Yeah, I think that was a much more seismic shift in comparison to Jimmy Butler, just basically taking Andrew Wiggins' spot in place there. But again, got to give credit to Mike Dunleavy. That trade, there was a lot of people questioning it. We got a lot of calls that day when it happened, or the next day, I should say. And a lot of people were like, I don't see this working. It's working. And it's working in a big way. They're up 3-1 right now.
And they've won a lot of clutch games,
yep.
Which I think is really important. It hasn't just been like, hey, we're blowing this team out or we're in full control. I think they've had to really work and figuring out the delicate balance of, hey, it's Steph's turn, it's Jimmy's turn, how do we facilitate offense? Like, that's one of the number one questions when you put two players together.
Right.
Who takes the final shot?
Right. Let's go to our guy Bobby in Los Altos. He was at the Double Arches, I think, yesterday, getting the double McGriddles. I'm not mad at that. Sorry, excuse me. It was a buy one, get one for a dollar McGriddles. I can go for one of those right now. Bobby, good morning. How are you feeling about tonight's game, man?
Hey, good morning. I want to say that you are way too cavalier about the importance of tonight's game and the need for us to win it. But before I get into that, and probably more importantly, I just want to say that little thing that guy Verducci did was incredible. I mean, that dude must be like the slam poetry champion of El Dorado County. I'm stuck in traffic, snapping my fingers. The only thing that doesn't give it a 10 is that as he was crescendoing to the end, he slipped up a little bit. But, dude, you need to put that on the best of tonight.
Oh, yeah.
That dude needs to make an appearance.
Okay.
That dude needs to make, like, an appearance at your year-end award show.
Doobies.
Like a
yes,
little,
sir.
What a,
yep.
A, you know, guest thing. So, dude, that was incredible, man.
It was great.
Of course, obviously, he wasn't freestyling, because if he was, then he's like a national talent. But look, tonight's game, the reason I think you're a little too cavalier about it is this. The reason I don't like tonight's game is that it's the first night where it's a short rest game, right? They just played Sunday, and it's in Houston. Hmm. Look, when I don't watch college sports anymore, but the thing about college kids is that they can do things that you can kind of coach them to do things they didn't think was possible. So the fact is, you know, obviously the Rockets are very young, and I don't need them to have belief if they win tonight that they can get back in this series. If they were like older team like the Lakers and they just won their home game, I wouldn't be that worried. But this team, they just don't know who they are yet. So if you give them a little confidence, it scares me, and I don't need that stress. So tonight we need to just finish it. End this series, and I am actually quite nervous of the confidence that these kids will have if they can win their home game tonight on the short rest, and then we got to go potentially one or two more games. And let's not forget, they actually get four home games. We make it sound like we're the higher seed. We're not. We're the lower seed. I am nervous. We need to take care of this. Şengün will get his. Jalen Green, hopefully he's still in whatever head funk he's in. And we can take care of this and move on to the next round. So, you know, Spadoni, you're too cavalier. I don't like it. I need more of a butcher boy, lover man type of nervousness about this game.
Oh, God, come on. Where's the confidence in this team? You're up 3-1. Come on. You're up 3-1. 888-957-9570.
I feel good about where they're at. I feel really good about it. But I also acknowledge that this has been a lot tighter matchup than maybe the 3-1 indicates. Like,
so maybe they're due for a blowout win. How about that?
Okay. So game one, you kind of won going away late and you win by 10, but it felt a lot more difficult than 10, which all these playoff games do. Game two, they won going away and it never really felt that close, if we're being quite honest. Game three, you won and you won by 11, but you had some big plays down the stretch and you kind of, you know, increase the lead at the end. This last one was a toss-up game. So if the Warriors have been manhandling them by 20 and 30, as I look at some of these other scores around the playoffs where you have 40-point deficits at times, like, I'd be like, all right, you're right, and they're all in their athletic primes, and we're the number one seed. And, you know, there's not a large sample size. This team was just assembled a couple months ago. And although I think highly of them, it's still new. And I'm respecting the opponent of the Rockets because I've watched these games and I feel like they've done some things that have truly stymied the Warriors' offense. And it's been an uphill battle offensively. And so I think it's more respect for the opponent and circumstance than it is me being scared or dismissing the numbers. I also think it's fair to just say, hey, the Rockets have played them tough.
Before we get to Dave Fleming on the other side, Dave Fleming joining us at 9:20. Courtesy of the River Islands guest line, Dave Fleming. We'll talk some Giants, obviously, but I'm going to ask him about the Warriors because he was so damn confident heading into the series as well. What I love about Dave Fleming, he has tapped in on all things Bay Area sports. We could talk about it all with him coming up here in about 10 minutes or so. But in the meantime, let's go to Devon in the Uber, wants to join in the conversation. What's up, Devon? What you got on tonight's game?
Hey, man. How y'all doing today?
Doing great. It's beautiful outside.
First things first, man, I wanted to talk about the circle of trust, right? Steph Curry's in my circle of trust.
Sure.
I'm hoping that he has one of those legacy games. You know, I need him to be known as a closer. You see what I'm saying? I want him to close the casket, shut on these Rockets, and we move forward to our second favorite friend, rest, right? We need rest. Our guys are banged up a little bit. I think it's going to be very important moving forward. I also, in my circle of trust, I want to say 95-7 the game. I just won the contest, so I'll be at the game. The Giants game going crazy.
No way!
And I just want to thank you guys. Oh, yeah, I'm a longtime caller.
Nice.
Or a longtime listener, too. And I remember the Cholo Dibs days. I remember everything. Like, y'all, I got an Uber passenger with me right now. Like,
tell him
y'all help me go out throughout the day.
Give our guy five stars and a fat tip, man. All right?
I was just arguing with Spadoni how I'm more of an Uber guy than a Waymo. I want to have someone in the car driving. I trust humans more than I trust the technology.
Yeah. Well, I'm the best Uber in the Bay Area. If you ever get me, man, you'll see me. But it's Devon in the Uber, 95-7 the game. I lay off, man.
Let's go, Devon.
That's Devon. Let's go.
And he's going to the Giants game, courtesy of 95-7 the game.
And Oracle. There you go. Shout out all of them.
Let's go.
And shout out you, the people, 888-957-9570. I like how you say I trust Devon, the Uber driver, than I do technology. What was he calling in on? A cell phone? What is that? That's technology. I'm just letting you know. That's what people use to interact with us. YouTube.
Stop it.
YouTube, also technology, where we're streaming on Twitch and Twitter as well. Why are you scoffing at me? You hate the math. You hate the technology.
I think the driverless cars are a little odd.
They're
all over the city causing nothing but traffic jams.
Really? Because they've actually been pretty aggressive lately, the Waymos that I've been in. I don't hate it. I can get bought. Hey, Waymo, you want to sponsor this segment? Why not? I'm here. What's coming up in the game is going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you. Here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. Game 5 tonight, breaking it all down, and we're going to discuss it with Dave Fleming. We'll talk some Giants, but we'll talk some Warriors too. Get back into it. We're talking about it all. Why not talk about the Giants? Why not talk about the Warriors? Hell, I can even ask him about the Kittle contract, because you know what? Dave Fleming is so tapped in on anything Bay Area sports. It's Spadoni, it's Chasky. Come on home, 95.7 the game.